Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast is brought to you by Kim Power, the reliable, quick, and scalable EV charging solutions for everyone and everywhere. And StarCharge, the largest EV charging manufacturer in the world, and is also a provider of residential and commercial battery storage. Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Out of Spec podcast. I'm your host, Francie, here to bring you another conversation about the reality of living with an electric vehicle. But this story isn't just about any old EV, quite the contrary, and not many can really speak to the experience of living with one of these, and that is the VinFast VF8. I am happy to welcome to the podcast Judy and Larry. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you. So we met when I was picking up my company car, a leased 2023 VinFast VF8 Eco trim. So the less expensive one. And you two were there figuring out when you'd be able to pick yours up, which you originally had thought that you were going to buy, but it turned out that you wanted to lease it. And before we get into all the details, Judy, I'd love for you to share with our audience what you have nicknamed your VinFast and maybe a little bit about why you chose that nickname.
Well, my VinFast is named Glitchy. It runs fine, but every once in a while, some of the electronics don't quite work the way you thought they would. But I think some of that is my learning how they work. Just never quite sure.
A little glitchy. Yeah, agreed. That sometimes things can get a little glitchy, a little quirky. And sometimes I'm like, okay, do I need to think about why this is happening? Is it me? Is it the car? Maybe right. A mix. Yeah. So we'll be referring to your VinFast as Glitchy. And like I said, you were standing in the VinFast dealership in North Carolina when we met you. You told us that you were ready to buy, but then it turns out you're leasing. So maybe can you start by what led you to be standing in that dealership that day?
Well, 2 years ago, Larry put a deposit down on the VinFast for when they were to come.
This was the Pioneer program. So we had learned of the potential availability of the car years ago when Chatham County, near where we live, was going to be the site of the construction of their U.S. plant. So we've just been sort of following along the car for years. We were actually in Vietnam a year ago, January, and saw a lot of the cars, and have just been patiently waiting, and then discovered in end of December that there would be a showroom here in North Carolina.
And so we decided to go check it out and take it for a test drive, see what it was, and then get some prices on our car with our Pioneer program, our discounts, and what it was all going to work out to be.
We had always intended to buy it. We generally don't lease cars. And I knew that based on the Pioneer program, we were supposed to get a discount of $3,000 for having been an early registrant. And then the promise of the $7,500 tax credit, even though the car wouldn't qualify. So we sort of went in presuming a $10,500 discount off the list price, which, you know, was reasonable enough to look at it. And then we got the pricing estimates for both purchasing and leasing. The purchase did reflect the $10,000 discount, but the leasing, and we got the plus, not the eco, was ridiculously cheaper. And even the folks at Leith, where we both acquired our cars, said the corporate headquarters is just making the lease option so much cheaper. It's just hard to imagine why you would spend $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 more, which is cash you'd have to put up front, versus a lease that was that much less, where all we're putting up front is the deposit and then the monthly payments and keeping the rest of our cash. And it allows us in the at 3 years to figure out, do we really want to keep the car or not? You know, it's an only car, and it may be that in 3 years there are so many other options that we would decide at that point to turn it in. But
or they may just do such fabulous upgrades on their system that we decide it's cheaper for us to just buy out the lease and keep it. So we figure it gives us some options.
Yes, some more options. So it sounds like not only the locality of the, you know, the manufacturing plant for VinFast being opened up in your area kind of, you know, sparked your curiosity, but then you got to see the cars. You were interested in maybe supporting a startup, but also it's a startup, right? With an electric startup too, which are, you know, it's a new technology, but still, even though you did end up leasing, you had a bit of confidence where you were going to buy it. Was it just because of the local influence, the discount? Were you nervous at all of investing in buying a new EV from a startup?
I think I was a little bit, especially after having seen a lot of the reviews, wasn't quite sure, but we also went and looked at a lot of other EVs, and this one had all of the options in it that we wanted. And a lot of the other ones were missing something here, something there that we really would like. And they were more expensive. And we just thought we would give it a try. Now, I always grew up around cars, and I was always told never buy the new car when it first comes off the, you know, even if they just upgraded it, wait for it to work out its kinks. So I know all cars have kinks when they first come out. And I guess we were willing to work with that. We're both pretty tech savvy and we're comfortable with it. So we were willing to do it.
We were also it was just the novelty. I will admit there was a novelty factor of being among the first to have a car like that. But, you know, it had to satisfy a number of conditions, and we needed to know that at least the basic flaws had been worked out, which, you know, it appeared to have been. So we were willing to take the risk. And then when the lease offer just made it that much more appealing, because you really didn't have to commit for longer than 3 years at a reasonable price, then it just became compelling at that point.
Yeah. And as long as I know I'm not going to get stuck in the middle of the highway, I'm good.
Yes. Just keep me driving to where I want to go. If there's a few glitches along the way, sure.
That's okay. But, you know, which it hasn't, it's been great. So.
Right. And, you know, Judy, you said that you grew up with cars, you're, you know, well-versed in the car space. What were y'all driving before, and do you still have them?
Okay, so my car that I did sell, I had a 2012 Chrysler 200 hardtop convertible. So, because I sort of loved the convertible, I wanted the hardtop, so I got that. Had it for 11 years, and it had 45,000 miles on it. So I don't drive a lot. So we figured the electric car would be perfect for us for around town. I really wasn't concerned about having to stop and take it on long trips, because we have another car for that, which is...
I bought a BMW X3 in 2020. So that's our combustion car for longer trips.
Okay, gotcha. So you made some room for the VinFast, but you kept one, you know, your BMW, which BMW has been around for so long. You know, they're really like performance cars. What has it been like from going from, you know, Chrysler and BMW to experiencing the VF8 Plus, driving traditional cars to this new electric vehicle?
Well, the difference for me was dramatic because my Chrysler had no backup cameras, had none of the safety features at all. And I didn't even have Apple CarPlay, had nothing. So for me, it was a dramatic change going into that. And I loved all of the features. I love the fact that the high beams come on automatically and shut off automatically. I love getting on the highway and I put on my cruise control and it keeps pace with the car in front of me, keeps me in my lane. All of those things, I had nothing. Now, the BMW had few of those options.
Judy drives Glitchy pretty much exclusively. I go back and forth between the BMW and the VinFast. So, you know, I have to remember when I get in the VinFast, there's no button. There's no off switch. So I'm sort of constantly always trying to put my finger on the dashboard to find the off switch. So, you know, I'll get used to the transition more and more, but it is a sort of an amusement when I go back and forth between the cars. And they're roughly the same size cars, which was something we hadn't quite anticipated, is that we'd have two SUVs that are essentially the same size. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the combustion car's performance, when I touch the accelerator, it immediately moves. The VinFast has a heartbeat delay, the regenerative braking versus the conventional braking. So I'm sort of always like, oh, yeah, this one does that. That one does this. And, you know, and I'm checking the fuel tank and the BMW occasionally and looking for the fuel tank and the Glitchy and remembering, no, you got to look at the battery. So when you go back and forth from the two cars, it's more of amusement when you forget which one you're in and try to behave in the way that the other car expects you to.
Totally. That little learning curve, even just going from car to car, but especially with a new car, learning how it works. And from an ICE vehicle, from your Chrysler convertible to the VinFast, I'm sure it's distinctly different. And learning how it works, do you think it's just more, okay, this is a learning curve. I'm excited. You know, y'all are tech savvy. You're interested in learning about this vehicle, or is it more like an obstacle, a challenge where you're like, I wish it was a little bit simpler, or that it just was, you know, no, easier?
It doesn't need to be any simpler for me. I think it's pretty simple, actually. I think that all of the menus on there to fix things or to adjust things to are all pretty easy to find.
We find we like puzzles. You know, we actually do a lot of sort of puzzle play, and we do online sort of computer and games, you know, like Myst and things like that. So for us, you know, the VinFast has just been one of those puzzles. Okay,
yeah.
Why is it doing that? And we'll get on the net, and Judy's now, I think, into 5 VinFast Facebook sites and groups, and she's looking for, okay, it's doing this. Why is it doing that? And is it supposed to, or are others finding the same? We'll share with you a couple of persistent glitches that are somewhat amusing and somewhat not amusing when they happen at 3 a.m. we'll tell you about that. But for the most part, Judy loves solving a puzzle. So when the car is not doing something, she will sit in the car all night trying to figure out, why is it doing that? And is there an alternative?
A bit of a detective there. I like it. Yeah. I do, you know, think that I take on the perspective, at least, that this is an experience, an experiment, no matter which EV I'm in. I know it's not going to be like driving a combustion engine. You know, my road trips aren't going to be the same. And it's all an experience. Take it with a positive attitude and be curious and treat it like a puzzle. I like that approach. And of course, the forums can give you clues. Have you found that is a place that is just alive with people interacting with each other? What is typically have you found on the forums? Are they helpful?
I found some of the sites. So for instance, one of them would say, well, it won't keep, you know, when I set something, it doesn't stay for the next time. And then somebody says, well, if you're setting it while you're driving, it's not going to stay. But if you set it when you're stopped, it's more apt to stay the way you want it. So we tried that a couple of times and found that worked for a couple of the things.
Okay.
For a while, my temperature was constantly going back down to 61 degrees. Every time I got in the car, it went down to 61 degrees. And then all of a sudden, miraculously, it's working perfectly fine now. So I think that occasionally overnight, we're getting some updates to the car that we don't know we're getting.
But we have a clue.
As to when.
As to when. You want to know about that little fun
glitch? Yeah, tell me about it. You've hinted at it. Tell me.
Periodically, and as I said, the least entertaining is when it happens at 2 or 3 in the morning, our phones start playing music. And we'll look at the phone, and it is connected in CarPlay to the car, to Glitchy. Hmm. No reason that we could think of that all of a sudden music is playing. Now, why it's playing on the phone.
Right. You would think it would play if it was on CarPlay, it should be playing in the car.
Yes.
And even if it turns, the car turns off, then the phone should, the music turns off. But for some reason, that's not happening.
So we think that those are moments that there may be updates and the car has been activated somehow. Mm-hmm. And then the car, because we have our car plays on all the time, although I now turn mine off overnight,
is
connecting to the phone.
And interesting.
Have you experienced that at all?
So no, but I did experience that my phone hasn't started playing music in the middle of the night. That would be a little bit unnerving, but that it
the,
would connect.
The car would be changed to creepy.
Yes. That would be creepy. That's funny. So many nickname potentials. So I did notice that I wouldn't be in the car and it would connect to Apple CarPlay because I do park, you know, close to where I live. And right. I thought that was a little bit annoying because I'm like, I don't want to be connecting to Bluetooth until I'm ready to connect to Apple CarPlay. So I decided to just disconnect from Apple CarPlay from now because I did find it to be a little too glitchy for my liking. But I feel like that could have been happening. And sometimes I wake up and it seems to have reset because sometimes the temperature goes back to Celsius, like as it's starting up, and it just looks like a bit like it's like a reset instead of just coming back on. So I do wonder if overnight that similar is happening to me, these updates. I haven't seen many changes, but you mentioned that every time you, or that you would get in the car and the settings that you had set have just been forgotten, even though it's under the same account with me, you know, the same driver. Have you
Most
found that?
Most of our settings have stayed pretty well. We really haven't lost much in the way of settings recently.
But this morning, she doesn't know about this episode. So I was on my rowing machine this morning, listening to a book on Audible. She got in the car to drive away, and my Audible disconnected and connected to the car.
Mm-hmm. Well, then sometimes when I drive into the inn, it's connected to mine. And as I drive in, it says connecting to Larry's iPhone. So I know it does that as we drive in sometimes.
We have found that it does not react predictably to the fob and the different fobs. Now, you may not notice that because presumably you're just driving the car yourself. We go back and forth with our fobs. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the car immediately recognizes who which fob unlocked the car and accommodated that person's settings. Sometimes it says, heck with you, I'm not doing that.
I would think most of the time mine connects perfectly fine. You sometimes yours doesn't, but it's so easy to change. It's just touch the name of the person and change it. So it's not
doesn't affect the drive, but it's on the list of, you know, sort of petty glitches.
On the other hand, I've gotten into the BMW a few times and it hasn't recognized my fob either. Yeah. So let's be fair.
Yeah.
Not all the cars work perfectly.
This is true.
I will say the overnight, you know, the turn on of the music unexpectedly has been one of the very interesting circumstances. Mm-hmm. As I said, I turn off my CarPlay overnight, not to have my phone go off. And
yeah, I just turn my volume off. So if it does go on, I want to see if it played it, but it won't make noise while I'm sleeping.
Yeah. How odd, how funny. And I've noticed that some settings will change, but also if folks don't know the fob, the key fob for the VinFast, you can, like put it in the middle of the driver's console and link it to a certain account of driver's account. So that when you get in, it will restore your mirrors to where you want, maybe some other settings. Yeah.
Yeah. The mirrors, the steering wheel and the seat all get restored to your settings.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, great.
It recognizes that it works perfectly.
Yes. Yeah. There's some things and it's true. You know, I think being a startup and being a little bit glitchy, there's a lot of room for people to criticize. And some of these issues that the VinFast runs into, other automakers also, other cars experience as well. Software can be complicated. Right. So mostly this is a daily driver for y'all, you know, not maybe the road trip car, like you said. So what about charging? Are you just relying on at-home charging? Do you have at-home charging? And have you used public charging?
We used public charging once, only went to the grocery store, and it was a level 2. We just plugged it in while we were in the grocery store. Other than that, we did install a charger, and we just charge at home.
Yeah. How did that go, the installation?
It went fine. I had a great electrician and had no problem installing it for us, and it worked fine right off the bat. I did get the VinFast charger from them, so that's great. The one we're using. The only thing I don't like about that charger at the moment is you can't program it to charge at a certain time. They said that's coming. So I'm waiting for that update for that charger.
And by the way, Leith called us 2 days after we purchased the charger and said, "We're sorry about some of the glitches you've had to endure. We're refunding you the cost. It's on us."
Oh, wow. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I have to say, Leith has been amazing. Every time we've contacted them for anything, I find the whole staff to be just fabulous. So
that's really great.
Yeah. So I would have no problem ever buying a vehicle from them, knowing that they stand behind it and they'll take care of you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's definitely essential. You know, they're also taking on a bit of a risk, you know, having a VinFast dealership, right? This is all new. Yep. So to be collaborative and helpful, I also found the service team when we picked it up and ran into a few things. I mean, we were on the phone with them. They were figuring out how to fix whatever we were going through, and we're nice and hands-on and informative. So I do agree that they are very helpful. So you said that you want this where you're able to choose when the car charges. Is that so you can take advantage of lower electricity prices?
Overnight lower prices. Right now, we just try to do it late at night and let it, you know, go to overnight or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to charge it when it's the highest price, but
right,
I can avoid it.
Yes.
But
the smart charging. Yes, definitely.
Right. But other than that, the charger works perfectly fine, and I can turn it off from my app in the house. So when it gets to the point where I want it, or if I want to turn it off sooner, I can turn it off from the house. I don't have to go run outside and do it.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, just plug it in and then be able to start the charge when it's the right time. That smart home,
right.
Smart EV, you know, just the whole holistic system when you're going electric. And so you've talked a bit about your first impressions. What features have stood out to you most during your first month of ownership of an electric vehicle in general, or things that are VinFast specific, but you know, you're changing it to when you're charging a car. Maybe you have a bit of a different range. Maybe like start with the positives of what you've experienced.
We really enjoyed the adaptive cruise control on the highway. It works really well. I noticed on your video. You commented, but it misbehaved occasionally for you. We've not had any misbehavior. So when we've turned it on every time, it's been on and has worked well.
I love having the 360 cameras so that I can see what's around me. So for instance, a lot of times when I go park and there's no car next to me on either side, I don't know if I'm quite in the lines. And I used to have to get out and look and see where I was. Now I can just use the camera, see where I am in the lines and adjust if I need to. So I love that. And as I said, I love the high beams coming on and off automatically.
What about the sound system?
We have no problem with the sound system. We've liked it, but I'm not a big, you know.
We're not audio. So
it's fine for me.
Yeah. It's playing the Beatles well enough. It's good.
Yeah.
So, nice.
And the podcast is a lot of NPR, so it's fine.
Yeah. But I listen to music mostly, and I through my Apple CarPlay, and I've had no problem. I don't find it to be off at all.
Great. And so then you're using mostly Apple CarPlay. You're not using the built-in VinFast navigation or anything?
It was interesting. I tried the VinFast navigation once or twice, and the navigation was fine, except that it wasn't talking to me and telling me where to make the turn, even though I went to like the radio on the car. So you can't say it was, well, you were listening to CarPlay and doing this. So I was on the radio in the car and putting it on, and I didn't get the sound. So I don't know if there's a setting I'm missing on that, but I tend to use my CarPlay more.
I think I remember there being a setting where navigation can or can't talk to you, but
I had it set to talk to me.
Huh.
But I don't know, you know, if I'm listening to the radio, I would think it would cut into the radio and talk to me. I can understand it not cutting into my CarPlay and talking mm-hmm. to me, because that's two different systems kind of thing.
Sure. Yes.
But we haven't quite figured that out. But I do mostly Google Maps anyway.
Although we were playing the other day with Google Maps to see if we could get it to tell us where there are charge stations. So mm-hmm. we were thinking of taking not a really long trip, but a practice trip where we would charge along the way. But Google Maps wasn't quite as effective in helping us identify charge locations, and the car's navigation hasn't given us voice controls yet. So we still have a little.
But the car's navigation gives it to me on the heads up display. So even if it doesn't give me a voice, it's showing me on the heads up display mm-hmm. where I have to turn next. So it works fine.
Great.
It's the puzzle du jour. We're working on that one. And it's anticipation driving.
And I just figure, you know, it's like anything else. We get updates on our iPhones and we get updates on our iPads and our computers, and all of a sudden they do things we weren't able to do before. And I figure the car's only going to get better. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm hoping to.
Yeah. One of the trivial negative things, and we've seen others write on this on the forums, is that when the auto windshield wiper comes on, not only does the sunroof close, but the shade closes as well. We can't keep the shade open
when it's raining. Now, you don't have a sunroof, so you don't know about that.
Right. Interesting.
Well, we've heard this flaw. So the Leith people told us that several of the cars they've sold have had the same issue where the shade closes as well.
Yeah, it's like everything on the top will close when it's raining. Yeah.
So
some interesting linkages. Yeah.
So we're awaiting potentially one day an upgrade that would cure that problem. Again, not a high. None of the issues affect the driving.
Right.
The one thing we have discovered, this is probably me more than Judy, I tend to be a little too fast. I get in the car, hit the brake, release the parking brake, and hit the gear all in a heartbeat, and the car doesn't like that.
Hmm.
The car clearly does not like
it. Yeah. It wants to come on first. It says, you just woke me up. Give me a second to open my eyes.
I've managed to lock the transmission twice.
Twice? Oh, really?
Yeah, twice, where I had to get out, lock the door, wait till the screen disabled and the car was officially off.
Wow.
Start again. So, you know, there's something for you to practice if you want to see, but twice I figured out how to lock it, the car, so it won't go.
I've never had that problem.
Larry, you are jumping in and rolling.
Right. And I've read on a lot of the blogs and things saying, give the car, you will have fewer of those alerts pop up on your screen if you give the car a second to fully wake up before you start driving it.
Yes, I get some errors sometimes if I just get in and go, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure the car just didn't have time to check all of these systems because I just don't think there's actually something wrong. But I do think that just comes from the fact that the software just isn't totally tuned in. And, you know, compared to a Tesla, quite different, right? But we're talking about a completely different automaker, different software, different timeline and everything.
Tesla's been around a while.
Exactly.
They've had a chance to fix some of their bugs and get mm-hmm. that stuff out. Yeah. I think VinFast needs a heartbeat for a number of things. It's a little slow when you go to talk to it. It's a little slow before it's really listening to you, and you wake it up when you say Alexa or even Siri or any of those. It just takes a little bit longer for it to pop up.
Mm-hmm. It comes on.
Yeah.
It sounds like most of what you're noticing are, you know, they are glitches versus I was reading on the forums, you know, some people have noted things that they find to maybe be more of a major issue, like some people really don't like how it will roll back if it's on a hill, or some other things where the car shut off. But those, I would think, you know, you start thinking about safety. I haven't encountered much of those at all since the first 2 days we had it. It had a weird where the infotainment just went dead. And that's, I'm pretty sure, because it was new. We were pressing a lot of buttons, and it was like, and it kind of froze. We restarted it. That was okay. We've had to learn how to restart it though. Is it true that mostly what you're finding, aside from kind of the transmission issue, glitchy stuff, rather than things that really make you worried, or are there some things that do make you, you know, kind of be like, ugh?
When I first got the car, I was so nervous. I was, after reading all the reviews, I thought for sure on my way home, the car was just going to die on me. And I have felt totally comfortable in the car. I don't feel at all unsafe, whether I'm on the highway or local. I think the little glitches are like, you know, she's kind of cute.
She's also sold two others.
Right.
Oh, really? To other people.
To friends.
So you recommend it. You recommend the update.
I told them, I was very honest with them. I told them what we got, and I told them that it's a new startup, and I told them that it does have glitches and that the reviews have not been great, but I thought it was a really good deal. And they've looked at my car and they drove in the car and they really liked it and they went out and bought one. But I wanted eyes open. I said, I want you to know, I'm letting you know right now, it's one of the worst reviewed cars out there. So don't blame me if something goes wrong with it, but I love mine.
And they
wow.
And right now they love theirs, and they both thanked us for recommending it to them.
Okay. I mean, I've had the impression down here where, you know, a lot of the people I know don't drive electric. Some of them do, but when they see it, whoever it is, it looks, you know, it has a great look.
Yep.
The interior is nice. The lighting is nice. It rides nice. So those things, just at first impressions, people are like, seems like a great car. Why not? You know, the ambient lighting, even though I don't have all the features you have, and my sound system is not really great. But otherwise it's, you know, pretty good. It seems like, just first off, people like it. So you were these folks that you convinced that this might be a good option for them? Were they looking at electric, or did you just convince them to lease or buy a new car?
One couple were in our car. We were going someplace. They sat in the back seat. They were just saying how roomy it was, how comfortable it was. We told them about the deal. We told them about the car. And the next day they went to Leith and bought one. They were not looking for a car. The other couple, I was playing golf with the woman, and she said her husband's car just died and they have to go get a new car and they're thinking about an electric. So I said, well, if you're thinking about electric, she knew nothing about the VinFast, had never heard about a VinFast. So I had her come look at my car in the parking lot. And I also told her worst reviewed car, but was a really great deal. She went, I think the next day also, and got one and thanked me for such a wonderful deal. And she's very happy with her car. She said, I don't need another car, but if I did, I'd get another one. Wow. And she got the Eco because at the time, they had no pluses left. They were already sold out of the pluses.
Oh, okay. So they're really flying off the shelves.
She said they were selling like hotcakes. We went down a day or two later and they had one Eco left. Now they may have gotten more in since then, but they were selling them.
And these people that you've mentioned, they've bought or leased, do you know?
Both leased,
because it's such
the lease deal is just too good. I mean, it's cheaper to lease and buy at the end than it is to buy outright.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, that one person was EV curious. So, you know, they get to try it for 3 years, see if.
That's right. EVs, if they don't like it, they turn it in. And if they like it, they can buy it. Or if something better comes on the market, then they can go to something else.
I do like the fact that the residual is a guaranteed price. So, you know, today what the residual cost will be. So you can calculate the total purchase price in advance. And that's a good deal. So, you know, totally what your out-of-pocket will be. And as I said, it was thousands cheaper to lease than to buy in the long run. So
it makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Completely.
Right.
And going electric, did you have concerns or hesitations just about that fact? You know, electric car from a combustion experience. Did you have any concerns or hesitations switching to electric? And have any of those been addressed since owning your VF8 Plus glitchy?
Well, remember, we put our deposit leasing down over 2 years ago.
Right.
So we were ready. We had already committed to an EV as our next car. The only issue was going to be when it became available, did we like it enough to buy it or to go to a different vehicle? So we were pretty much determined to have an EV as our second car with the notion of a combustion for the long term.
Right. I don't think we want to have two EVs until we feel that the infrastructure is much better to be able to take a long trip and charge up.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And what's your motivation there? I know that you are, you know, you're puzzlers. You like to, you know, explore new things, figure new things out. Is it the novelty that you mentioned? Is it the, you know, the notion that this is helps, you know, maybe bring down air pollutions and noise pollution in your area? What are the motivations where you were like, well, we know our next car is going to be electric?
I think it's better for the environment. So I think it's better that way. Also, we've lived through a few of these gas crises when you have to wait in line forever for gas. So now we have one car that we don't ever have to wait in line for gas if we need to go somewhere. And it was the novelty. I just wanted something different.
I like being ahead of the curve, you know, and not necessarily the bleeding edge, but maybe the leading edge. Although we're probably more bleeding edge with this car than we might have been with others.
That's true. I don't think there's that many others. I'd love to know how many people in the U.S. are driving around with VinFast, but I'm pretty sure I'm the only person in my region.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, we're not the only people now in North Carolina. But, you know, I talked to a friend of mine who has had her Tesla for 6 years. She said when she first got her Tesla, it was very glitchy and they had lots of issues that they had to fix. So, you know, I don't think it's just for this car. But I think it's still a new technology, period.
It wouldn't surprise me that there are 100 now in North Carolina. I don't know how many of these has had to sell. They probably have gotten, we probably saw 30 or 40 cars. Even when you were there that day, there were probably 30, 40 cars in the parking lot. So I would be surprised if there are about 100 out there.
I think that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and most of them are going to be right here around us between Raleigh and Durham.
You're going to be waving.
We have not, other than our friend's car, we have not seen another one just randomly on the road yet. So we sort of watched to see that as evidence.
And what color did you get and what interior?
We got the gray with the saddle brown interior.
Nice. Nice combo.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, it comes with the VinFast app on your phone. Do you use that at all?
Yeah, we look at a lot to check on the battery. I've used it to, some people say they can't unlock or lock their car with it. I've been able to lock and unlock my car with it. I've been able to flash the lights with it. So all that.
Yeah, it doesn't do a lot, but you know, for a quick at a glance, what's the battery level? You know, until you can do things like set your charging time, you know, there's not much transactional value. It has mostly just informational value.
Well, and I can turn off the charger if I want to from the app.
Stop charging.
Mm-hmm. It's still limited to a couple.
But it's just limited to what you can do with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had, you know, I was able to lock and unlock, and then in one parking lot I wasn't. So I was like, I don't know if it's, you know, what the problem is, but just still, again, a little glitch. But like you're saying, yeah, it's these little functionalities that I think that they must. Grow the abilities of their software to just kind of meet what else is on the market as well. And if you were going to give, and it sounds like you have been giving some advice for people considering to make the switch from traditional internal combustion engine vehicles to an electric vehicle like the VF8 or just electric in general, what advice would that be? Is it considering how you drive? If you have at home charging, are there musts to consider?
Yeah, I think so. I think you have to consider how you want to drive. Are you willing, if you want to take it on a long trip, are you willing to make stops every few hours and wait 30 minutes till it recharges? You know, that's a big issue.
I don't think you buy it without a home charger. I just don't think you can rely on a 110 conventional home or to find chargers out and about. So I would tell people, if you don't plan to put in a level 2 charger, you know, rethink this, because it's going to be very inconvenient when it can take 50 hours to charge off a traditional 110 volt. I would say really test drive more than just the 10 minutes, because you really got to understand the regenerative braking and, you know, how that's going to work for you. You really need to understand the acceleration and deceleration, and, you know, get a little more comfortable with it, to know that it's really a car you're going to be comfortable with.
On the other hand, when I would go from my Chrysler to his BMW, the pedals reacted differently. The gas pedal reacted differently. The brakes I had to get used to again. So I find that from one car to another, those can all change, whether they're EVs or not EVs.
But just try it and make sure you're comfortable with it. That's all. For the most part, once you're on the road, it's like any other car. It's just driving. And combustion cars have adaptive cruise control and heads-up displays and all of those features. And it's not going to be any different necessarily than any other luxury car that you might buy. But the charging is distinctive. And you've got to be able to be comfortable that you can charge it as frequently and as easily as you need to.
Mm-hmm. Knowing what you know now about living with it and the glitches and the imperfections, but also the positives that it, you know, I love also the driver's assistance. I think that's so great. And other features as well. Gets me from point A to point B. It's electric. Would you recommend someone buy it, or is leasing the only thing that you would recommend?
It depends. I tell the price. If the lease deal goes away and it's more expensive to lease in the long run, then buy it.
I think it's going to be tough. I mean, we had a $10,000 discount walking in the door on a purchase price. Yeah. That's not going to be the case for most people. Sticker price on the cars in the, you know, for the pluses in the 50s. Is this the best car you can buy for the 50s? That's going to be I don't know right now that this is the best.
Well, I think it can be. I think the size of the car, and I think that all of the amenities that the car has is equal to anything else out there that's in the $50,000 range. It's right now, it's, I think it will be when they get some of these glitches fixed and you can feel comfortable that it's not the startup. I mean, like you said, BMW has been around for a long time. So if you're comparing it to a company that's been around for a long time, it's different. But once they get those worked out, I think the car is definitely worth it.
It's great. It's a great car. I'm just saying, if you're paying out of pocket in the 50s, you have choices. Mm-hmm. And you also have to decide, and this has been true the last couple of years. You know, we keep reading that a new whole slew of EVs is coming. Well, if you really believe that in the next 2 or 3 years, you're going to have three times the number of choices, do you want to commit to a purchase now? Do you want to lease? So you retain the option of seeing what else is coming on the market. I think we're in a really volatile period right now of not knowing whether there's a dramatic influx of additional EVs coming. Well,
I think the big difference will be is if the batteries can get you further on a charge.
Yes, along with
if you get that, and I think, you know, then you're going to want to have something more like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that makes a difference, being able to get further, better infrastructure, and that leads me to the Tesla Supercharger network, it's opening up to other automakers. Other automakers started announcing last year that they had an agreement with Tesla to get the Tesla connector, the North American Charging Standard, J3400 for all the nerds, into their EVs, and then access to the Supercharger network, not necessarily in that order. Ford is getting access now. So all Ford EVs. VinFast has not announced their plans to use Tesla's technology or that they've come to an agreement with Tesla to get their customers access to the Supercharger network. What do you think about that? Are you familiar with that topic?
Yeah.
Okay.
It would be nice to have that available if you were going to take long trips to have the Supercharger. I was told that they were probably going to have an agreement. When? I don't know.
In the short term, it's not an issue because we're not planning long trips with the car. Mm-hmm. Clearly for marketability and others who will want to do that, it's going to be critical. And, at some point we may want to just, you know, take it on a longer trip just to experience it. And having Supercharger access will make a difference. But, one of two things will need to happen. Either Tesla opens up or they negotiate with Tesla, or the national infrastructure and the availability of non-Tesla superchargers needs to expand anyway. That's a national infrastructure need, whether it's Tesla's or not.
Right, so. Especially if they want people to go more electric and get away from the combustion engines. Mm-hmm.
Very much so. Yeah, that's what we're looking forward to. And you know, the mix now of Teslas and non-Teslas on the supercharger network, I think will open up way more road tripping abilities and also have a new wave of kind of, you know, an integrated EV charging experience on public chargers. And I do think, yeah, it's the marketability, the value add. It's very clearly a value add when you look at Tesla's infrastructure compared to what's out there. But we've got to keep the competition running, right?
And I want to reinforce Judy's comment. You know, really the future is about who gets the better battery. You know, Toyota is also building its massive new battery plant here in this region. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we know that batteries are going to change dramatically, especially as lithium is less and less available. Some new technology, you know, we're going to have nuclear fission batteries or something. That's going to be a game changer, because when there's an entirely different battery technology, it's both safer and has more capacity, you know, that car may be the win. So I would probably encourage someone, if the prices, you know, all things being equal, you might want to lease and keep open flexibility, because 3 years is a long time in the EV manufacturing world.
It sure is. There's plenty of patience to be had. That's for sure. While, you know, we observe who's doing it well, who's not doing it well, just what's happening in general, what strategies there are. There's definitely room to improve. But that kind of technological advancement takes time, especially when it comes to the batteries, right? We're just at the beginning, and I think we are still early adopters in the EV space, even though we weren't the earliest with the Nissan Leaf, you know, back in the early 2010s, but still early adopters for VinFast, at least.
Right.
And so it touts the title of worst reviewed car, the VinFast VF8. Would you agree with that title now, or would you say it's really not the worst car?
I don't think it's the worst car. Like I said, I'm very happy with it. Like I don't have another EV to compare it to. I didn't own any other cars. I test drove some, but you know, you go out on a 10-minute test drive, you can't really tell. But I haven't found anything to make it the worst drive out there. I love driving it. I look for any opportunity to go out and do an errand or whatever to get in the car and go, which was never me. It was always, okay, you can go do the errand. So I really enjoy driving.
We went for a longer drive yesterday. I said, you want to drive? She said, I'll drive. Normally I would be doing the driving. Nice. She wouldn't be annoyed by it. I think reputation always lags. So I think right now we're dealing with a reputational lag that's based on
last year's
a next set of reviews not having yet caught up. Your company is reviewing, so we know that there'll be far more information in the near future. But you know, our experience just hasn't matched the extremes of reviews. Are there those glitches? Is there still evidence of work to be done? Absolutely, but it's a smooth ride. It does 98% of what it says it's going to do. The things it doesn't do are not, you know, dramatic to the ride. It's the shade closes when you don't want the shade to close and a few things like that. Are there things that I wish were different? Yes. I really wish I didn't have to get out of the car to close to lock it.
To lock it.
Or to disengage it.
Yes.
That's agreed. A simple. To me, that's an annoyance. If I want to sit in the car and finish something I'm writing or reading, but I want to disengage the car, I should be able to do it from inside the car. I don't like the fact that I can't lock the car when the hatch is open. You know, I've got to wait till I close the hatch and then either pull the fob out or walk to the door handle to lock the door. Trivial. But they could have put a lock option in the hatch closing. So you just push that button. And shut the hatch and disengage.
Because that's what we have on the BMW.
Yeah.
So, you know, the things that we have in the BMW there is no car that has every feature that you want. Mm-hmm. So my mother always told me, when you're going to marry somebody, you marry the guy whose faults you can live with. And I think it's the same thing with the car. There are going to be things in every car that this one has, that one doesn't, whatever. We ruled out some cars because they didn't have wireless CarPlay. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to have to plug my phone in every time I wanted to have CarPlay. Now, that's a silly little thing, and it might not bother somebody else, so it might not be there, you know. So everyone has something a little bit different.
But there are probably, you know, half a dozen things that I wish were different that are not software and that won't change, but it is the way it is.
It'll change in the next their next ones when they redo.
Yeah.
Them.
Hopefully they're watching.
No, no garage door button.
Yeah. I mean, and and it doesn't tell me the external temperature either, like what the temperature is outside.
You can put the widget on. We changed the widgets, and one of the widgets is an external
temperature. We'll have the external temperature.
Okay, good. I'll get that widget then. Yeah, I think there's some things that I would definitely change, like let me lock the car, let me turn the car off easily. You know, some things like that where it's like, that was just a miss, you know, but this is a first iteration. You know, they've been making cars for 6 years? Yep. You know, and electric cars aren't easy to make in general.
Right.
And yeah, it's a work in progress for sure.
We may love the VF8 and buy a new VF8 in 3 years because it'll all those things may have been addressed. So who knows? We'll figure that out.
Have to keep checking in with you. Yeah, I'll have a podcast come out before this one answering. I tweeted out like, what questions does everyone have about the VinFast? So a list of answering those questions because people are curious, you know, is it still working? Yeah, it works. Yes, okay.
Still working great.
Working pretty great. Yeah. I think that home charging is really important. And I'm really glad that you both are pretty satisfied with it. You know, I think that you one have the right attitude, curious, optimistic, into the experience and the experiment a little bit. You even promote it to other people, especially with the lease deal. So I think that all factors in. So yeah, I'm glad that you're having a good time with Glitchy.
And sometimes I wonder too, when you start getting a few negative reviews, if everybody decides to jump on the bandwagon and come up with their own negative review. And so I think sometimes that perpetuates it, whether it's real or not.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's a distinction between glitchy, quirky, software faults that, you know, and some annoyances versus like battery fires or a car that turns off in the middle of the highway. Like that stuff is not happening with this experience, as far as I know. I mean, I haven't seen any big headlines.
No, as we said, we talked to the folks at Leaf, you know, if they have 100 cars on the road, we're not aware that anyone has had a problem. Even our local news station has done interviews with VinFast owners, and pretty much everyone who's got one has liked it. Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. So it seems like there's a good bit of electric investment in your state and in your area, you know, with Toyota, it sounds like, with VinFast. There's, you know, is that just something that you're excited about, that the community is excited about in general?
Yeah, I think the fact that North Carolina has, you know, become a, you know, really up and, you know, it's just a great state in which to do business right now. And, you know, that several of these major automobile manufacturers or the battery manufacturers have decided to relocate here is obviously a good sign for the local economy. You know, NASCAR is centered out of Charlotte. So it's not like this is a region that is unfamiliar with automobiles and isn't attractive to automobiles. So you have a pretty significant number of people for whom the auto is an important part of their lifestyle.
Very cool. Yeah, I see that. And South Carolina as well. There's, you know,
BMW
there. Yeah. So very cool.
How are you feeling about being in Memphis with yours and not near a service location?
You know, whatever happens, happens. But I've had people ask that, like, you know, one, I don't have at home charging yet. I'm going to put it in at a family member's house that lives near me because I live in an apartment complex that does not, I just can't do that. So I've been using public charging, which I think is good for me to experience. Right. There's one DC fast charger. There's one charger that works for me in a 50-mile radius. And that's the only one for everyone in this city in the 50-mile radius that's fast. It's not really built in at grocery stores here. You know, Tennessee, I wouldn't say is, at least my city of Memphis hasn't really invested a bunch into that, which is, there's a lot of reasons why, you know, this isn't the critical infrastructure here. But in general, being here, it's been great. It gets me from point A to point B. I think that home charging would change the experience a lot. People are like, what is that? I've never heard of VinFast, of course. And getting it serviced, that was a question too. And I was like, well, that's part of the experience, especially being with out of spec. Like, how will this go? And with startup automakers, will they come and get it? Will I have to ship it to them if anything happens, if it needs an update that can't be over the air? I know that there is one either in, I think it might be in Missouri now, a service center in Kentucky or Missouri, somewhere somewhere Midwest. So now there's like California, North Carolina, and then that's not the Midwest, but the mid, I guess. So we'll see. And then it'll get out to the team in Colorado this summer or spring to do all the testing, you know, to see really how far it goes on one charge, the real charging curve of it, and all the other tests that we do. So we'll get a lot more information besides my, you know, anecdotal answers in the near future.
Yeah, but we're the ones that drive it. And we're the ones that, I mean, we don't drive it the way they test it. So
that's true.
If it works for you as a driver,
yeah,
that's the important part.
Yeah.
And it certainly does that.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Thank you again, both of you, for, so much for coming onto the podcast. For, you know, I'm so glad we met you in the dealership as well, so we could hear about your experience. Yeah, it was so nice. And again, yeah, I'm glad you're having a great time. I love your attitudes, and I'll be eager to check in with you more, especially, you know, maybe more news will come up with VinFast, and we'll see what happens, more models coming to the US, whatever it is. But would love to, of course, stay in touch and see how Glitchy keeps rolling along.
Maybe at some point I'll be able to change your name.
maybe it'll be, what would it be?
I don't know. I'd have to think about that. But when she stops being Glitchy, I might have to change it.
The car formerly known.
Yes, formerly Glitchy. Now perfect. He likes it. Yeah, he really does. I think the space of the car is so nice. It's very, very spacious, which is sometimes just not what you get with EVs, perhaps with like the efficiency, smaller car, go further. He likes it. I think the airflow is great. You know, on the 800-mile drive back over here, no panting or anything. So he likes it. Easy, peasy. And we use, you know, pet mode. So it keeps that climate control when, you know, if I have to run inside somewhere quickly. So he likes it. It's a Rafiki approved car.
Okay. Well, now that it's warming up, we'll see. We haven't tried air conditioning yet.
Well, the air conditioning came on when it was going down to 61 degrees. Yeah,
sure. Yes, when you just turn it on. Yeah, I know. We are having a hot day today. It's just a preview of the humid summer that is incoming.
Yes,
thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was great.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it was so great meeting you. And thank you for your time and energy today. And thank you, everyone, for tuning into the Out of Spec podcast to hear about Judy and Larry's story with their VinFast VF8 Plus and all that they've experienced in their first couple of months of ownership. We'll make sure to follow along with y'all and let us know if you have any questions for them in the comments. Hopefully I can get you some answers. We'll see you next time on the next episode. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more. Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.